Cleophas Dwayne Chapman served in the United States Air Force Academy for 26 years. Sergeant Donnie Cobalt served in the U.S. Army for 35 years. Private Austin Dilley is currently completing his advanced individual training in the United States Army National Guard. Robert Fowler is currently serving with the Oklahoma National Guard and has for the last 12 years. Previously, Robert served with the U.S. Navy for 4 years. Sergeant Robert Bob Gall served in the U.S. Army for 3 years. Frank Howard served in the U.S. Air Force for 20-plus years. Aaron Monroe served in the U.S. Air National Guard for 9 years. Timothy Morrow served in the U.S. Navy for 6 years. Jim Murray served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. Sergeant Olin Nicely served in the U.S. Air Force for 2 years. Anthony Scott served in the U.S. Navy for 5 years. Master Sergeant Armin Rogel served in the U.S. Air Force for 21 years. Sergeant Grace Rogel served in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years. SPC Byron Rutherford served in the U.S. Air Force for 10 years. Technical Sergeant Ed Weinberger served in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years. Ronnie Williams served 4 years in the Navy and 6 years in the Air Force Reserve.
Amen. Celebrate you as a prayer of faith family. Thank you for your service that you've given our country and are still giving our country today. God bless you all. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for our veterans and our men serving and women serving in the armed forces today to protect our country. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That we have those who are willing to step forward and to say whatever it takes, whatever the cost. I'm there. I'll be there in the darkness and in the light to protect the country that I love, that gives us the freedom to worship you, to stand strong for you, and to proclaim you as Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, I ask blessing upon them. Shower them with your blessings. Father, shower them with your gratefulness, that we're just so grateful that they serve us, Father. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Kings, Old Testament today, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20. Those of you who remember when you were a teenager probably remember the words, you just had one job, just one job to do. And your parents probably were referring to something that you forgot to do because maybe you got sidetracked or you forgot to bring home something from the store that they had assigned you to bring. But who knew that they were actually quoting Scripture? Who knew? Because they knew how important it is to keep focused on what you do. Kind of like the family with the 3-year-old son. And for family fun night, they like to get together and play the card game Memory. And that consists of a bunch of cards arranged on the floor face down. And each player takes turns flipping a card over, and you try to match the pairs of cards that are on the floor. And if you get a match, you get to keep it and you get to go again. And the person at the end of the game with the most matched cards is the winner. We play this in King's Kids a lot. It's a great game. Well, as the family played, the dad remarked, he said, you know, my strategy is I try to focus on two or three pairs of cards that I'm trying to get. And after I achieve that goal, after I get them, I try to focus on two or three more. And then the mother said, well, she said, my strategy is I like to start in the corners of the cards and kind of work my way inward and trying to remember where the cards are. And that just kind of helps me keep focused that's my strategy for trying to get the best matches. And then their little three-year-old son, he he replies, he said, well, he said, my strategy is that when you guys aren't looking, I peek under the cards. I mean, that's, you got to do what you, most of the time, you know, you got to keep an eye on them little buggers, because at least I do on Wednesday evenings. I tell you what, it's, you never know what they're up to. But in 1 Kings chapter 20, there's a story where the king of Israel pretty much tells one of his soldiers, you just had one job, and that's a man who needs to be guarded. It's the assignment that our King Jesus, our commander, still issues to us today. And the man that we need to guard most is ourself. And today, as we celebrate Veterans Appreciation Day, and although the service has kind of primarily been focused on our military, and thank you, Susie, for playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. That was a great song. But our message today is entitled, On Guard. And it's applicable to everyone. And it's given to us in this Old Testament story, and beginning with verse 39 of 1 Kings chapter 20. Now this passage here, it's an illustration passage, how a prophet was trying to make an illustration to the king of Israel in a way that he would understand. So I'm taking this passage, and I'll be paraphrasing it a lot, but I'm giving it to you today as a way to make it applicable in a way that we can understand and remember it best. But starting with verse 39, it says, as the king passed by, he cried to the king, and he said, your servant went out into the midst of battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me and said, guard this man. And if for any reason he's missing, then your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. And while your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And keep in mind that statement. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. And I believe the responsibility of every believer is contained in these two verses. And the story that the prophet is trying to emphasize here probably took place on a battlefield of some sort. And battlefields in the Old Testament were very noisy places. I mean, they would direct soldiers to go here or to go there using loud trumpet blasts, or in some cases, shofars, which were instruments of war. And the sound of clashing swords would happen, and then you'd have shields butting against each other, and rumble of chariots and horses, and you'd hear the screams of men yelling, engaging in hand-to-hand combat, chaos and anger and fear was filling the air. And you've probably seen a lot of war movies like that, at least maybe if you've seen Braveheart or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, and especially some of you veterans here today probably know what that's like. And it's hard to imagine to anything greater than these descriptions happening in battle mentioned in that they were in. It was just so crazy. And then right in the middle of this battle, the king comes up and he says that I've captured someone. He says to this particular soldier, he says, I want you to guard this man. Your primary, your number one responsibility, even though there's chaos going on all around you, there's a raging battle, is to guard this man. Keep this man. Keep him or guard him. And guard kind of means to hedge in with thorns, to hedge him in. And you are to hedge him in with thorns and to keep him in your perimeter and set boundaries around him if you have to. And make sure that he doesn't escape. And then to add to the seriousness of this order that was given to him, the king said, if this man is missing when I come for him, then it's going to be your life for his life. That's pretty serious. This is your responsibility to guard this man. I know there's a lot going on around you, but you need to be concerned with this man. I'm pulling you off the battlefield, so to speak, so you won't be engaged in anything that's going on around you. Don't be distracted by a scream happening over there, or a yell, or a trumpet blast, or chariots or horses running around the battlefield. I just want you to keep focused more than anything else on hedging, on keeping this man guarded as if your life depended on it. Because if you lose this man, then you lose yourself. You lose your life. And that's why this man needs to be guarded. And the Bible says that when the battle was over, the king returned and the dust settled and the warfare ceased and the king himself returned. And I just want to say real quick that our King Jesus, is coming back to earth again one day. Amen. And when the king came back, he wanted to know just one thing from that soldier. And that is, did you guard the man that I've charged you with the responsibility for? Where's the man that I gave you in charge of? And in this particular case, our scripture says that the Bible said that the man had escaped. Where's the man I told you to be responsible for them more than anything else? How could you let this happen? What is so important that could have distracted you from the one assignment that I gave to you? And that was to remain on guard with this man, to keep watch over him and to keep him a captive. Explain yourself. Was you overtaken by the enemy in some case? Or did a band of enemies sneak up behind you and attack you? No, sir. Were you distracted by a farm woman nearby? Did she happen to be coming through the fields and maybe she was pretty and you got distracted by her? No, sir. Well, did you forget the charge that I gave you to watch this man, to guard this man? No, sir. And the soldier's answer was classic. Notice what he said. He says, I just got busy here and there. And the king said, well, so shall your judgment be. You've lost a man, therefore you've lost your life. You're going to lose your life. You've lost yourself. And the soldier, he wanted the king to know that the man wasn't missing and didn't escape because the soldier was lazy or anything like that. Not like he took a nap. Soldier began to explain, I wasn't lazy. I was busy. Busy here and there. And I became distracted and I forgot about guarding the man. And he became busy with a lot of things, like a lot of people hearing this message today. We have a lot of busy people here inside today. Like most people, I'm sure the soldier had some responsibilities, perhaps, that he got distracted by. I mean, just like we have house payments, we have car payments to take care of, we have a family to feed, we have to go to work, we have bills that come in that we need to take care of. We have children that need our attention. We need to take care of them, to feed them. We're just very busy people. And the soldier, he became busy here and there, and he forgot to guard that man and the king, that the king told him that it was his number one responsibility in life. And I'm sure that the soldier was thinking, well, I have other obligations. I've got a lot of responsibilities. This guy ain't going anywhere. He just became busy. And the soldier probably told the king, he said that, you know, the man promised he would stay there, that he didn't have to worry about me sitting there guarding him constantly. That he would stay behind this hedge or these barriers that I made for him. He even crossed his heart and hoped to die. Now, like I said, this isn't in the Bible. I'm paraphrasing a bit here. But he said he gave me a Boy Scout pledge of honor that he wouldn't leave, but instead he would stay there so I could go and take care of some important things. And I'm sure that this man's escape wasn't a quick thing either. I don't think he just got up there and ran. I'm sure it was kind of a gradual thing so he wouldn't go unnoticed. Kind of like the story of the farmer who didn't like paying money for oats that he fed his mule, and he decided to gradually substitute sawdust inside of its diet. And everything went fine for a while, but by the time the mule was satisfied with the sawdust, he died. And when people start feeding themselves on worldly desires and pleasures rather than the Word of God, they don't even realize that they're dying until it becomes too late. And so I'm sure the soldier, he didn't realize that the man that he was guarding was slowly inching away or slowly slipping away from where he had him hedged in at, because I'm sure he thought, well, I need to take care of this. And oh, this soldier just fell over here. I need to drag him off the battlefield, pull him to safety, just trying to do my duty as a good soldier. And for a while, the soldier just kept busy, and the man who he was supposed to guard started slipping away a little bit further and a little bit further. And before he know it, the soldier turns around, only to realize that the man's escaped. I'm saying to you today that the man who the king needed to guard was yours and my old nature. If you haven't figured this sermon out, you're a little slow. I'm going to kind of help you with it. The king is Jesus, and he says to everyone that your main responsibility is to keep the man. You are this man. Keep him on guard. You are to guard who you are. You are to guard your heart, the Bible says, with all diligence, and to keep this man in person or in check. keep them from the lust of the eyes and keep them from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and these selfish desires that keep rising up inside of us. They want to rule over us. We're to hedge them in with thorns and watch over the perimeters and create some boundaries in our lives and set some standards. Because you can't just let them go wild. Because this man is a liar and you can't trust him in what he'll do. He'll tell you anything in order to get his way. Because it feels good. He'll just run rampant. He'll tell you that he won't do things. But if you don't stay on guard, if you don't watch him, if you don't keep him hedged in, then he's going to run wild. He's crazy. He's a wild man. Your flesh cannot be trusted under any circumstance. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, that there is no good thing in my flesh. And that's why you have to continually be on guard. And you have to guard this man because he's always going to try to get out. He's always going to try to talk his way out of stuff. And you have to hedge him in with thorns. One soldier in the military who served, he said he remembers that he had to pull guard duty a lot of times. And the purpose of the guard duty was to ensure that soldiers and equipment and other areas were protected from the enemy getting in. And he recalls in basic training or boot camp that he had to memorize some general orders. And he said the first one was, I'm going to guard everything with the limits of my post, and I'll only quit my post when I'm properly relieved. And when they were properly relieved, a password was spoken between the person and the person on guard duty and the person that was going to relieve them. And, of course, if the improper password was given, then you weren't properly relieved. Because the safety that was being guarded depended upon the guard that was on duty that particular time. And if something went wrong, if the enemy was able to get access and do that which you were responsible for guarding, then you were held accountable and punishment would have been inevitable. And the soldier in our passage today, he's not a bad man. He's a good soldier. He was just a busy man. He was trying to accomplish things for his life by being a good soldier. Just like there's a lot of church people who get busy here and who get busy there. And maybe they got a flat tire and I can't go to church today. The tire's flat. Or why didn't you go to church? Well, you know, today was really the only day I had to mow my grass. Or, well, why wasn't you here last week? Well, I had to go get groceries and we went to the store and one thing led to another and why weren't you here the week before that? Well, we had this going on and that activity to go to. And it's not that they're bad people. They're good people. They're just busy people. And that's why it's important to guard the fleshly man. Soldier, he didn't lose the man on purpose. Most of the time what happens with us is we drift away a little by little, a little here and a little there. And before you know it, we're far from God. Far from who we once were with God in that fellowship, that in close fellowship that we had with Him. And we have to be on guard with the fleshly man. And we have to keep on worshiping and praising God. Wasn't today's worship good? It was great worship. The songs were simple, so I heard a lot of you all singing them. And God says we are created in His workmanship. And whenever He sees His workmanship, praising Him with your lips, it makes Him happy. It makes Him proud that He made you. We have to keep the spiritual man in church. It's important to do that. We have to keep him paying tithes and we have to keep him in obedience to the Word. And I hate to inform a lot of you this, but your number one responsibility is not your children. Your number one responsibility is not your husband or it's not your wife. They'll have to answer to God for themselves. And here's the issue. We have people that say, I'm so worried about my children and how they'll turn out. But if you don't keep the fleshly person guarded and nurture that spiritual person, then you're not going to win your children over to God. If you don't keep that fleshly person hedged in and held in check, then you're not going to win your husband or wife to Christ. If you don't keep that fleshly person confined, then there's no way you're ever going to make an impact or win others to Christ around you. And Jesus Himself said, you've got to love me more than your sons, your daughters, your wives, your family, your mothers and fathers. I'm not just saying this. It's scriptural. And the whole point of this message is that you have to keep this man or person on guard. To be on guard, you have to keep him from illicit places on the internet. You have to keep them from having bad attitudes. You have to keep them from bitter feelings that want to rise up because things didn't happen the way you thought it would. And we don't like to talk about this stuff. But the truth is that if we don't keep him hedged in and guard this man, then the enemy will cause him to escape and you'll lose control of him and you'll lose yourself. Because we just get so busy in life, and before we know it, the man's gone, doing his own thing, consumed with his own desires. The battlefield, it's the world and the flesh and the devil, and there's noise going around, there's chaos, but one day the king's coming back. And when the king comes back, he just wants to know one question. Did you keep this man? Did you keep him in guard, in check? Peter summed it up easy in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. He said, save yourself. Save yourself from this wicked and evil generation and perverse generation. So a person's greatest responsibility is to keep this man. There's never been a time, you see it every day in the news and on the TV, where there was a more opportunity in this world to live immoral, and all kinds of stuff gets attracted to you and attached to you. And that's why you have to guard yourselves from the things of this world. You have to hedge in your spiritual nature and in the thorns with the Word of God. The disciple John put it like this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. He said, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, then we're not living in the truth. Once Jesus saves you, once you ask him into your heart, once you invite him into your heart to be cleansed, he gives you a spirit, and that spirit is saved. Saved from what? The things in your life that's going to kill your soul, the flesh. But you and I both have a body in which this spirit that Christ gave us lives in and resides in. And that's why we have to learn to hedge in this body in which our spirit of Christ now resides, to learn how to bring this body under subjection. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, I buffet my body. I'm brutal on myself. I have to strike a blow on my body every now and then and make it to come under subjection, because I know that I just can't let the flesh do what it wants to do. If you read the Bible, you'll find that most of the people who were lost in the Bible, who lost themselves, weren't lost in the battle. Like Samson, for example. Samson did amazing in the battle. The Bible said at times that the Spirit of God would move upon Samson, and in Judges chapter 14 through 16, the power of God would come upon him, and he'd fight 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a rotting donkey. My Bible says putrefied donkey, but that's kind of nasty. You pick up a dead donkey, rotting flesh, jawbone, and end up killing 1,000 Philistines with it. And then the Bible said at times the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, as said in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. And he said he was easily able to rip a lion that would come out of nowhere and grab it by its jaws and just rip those jaws apart, just as a person would rip a young goat apart. Now that's pretty powerful. That's a strong man. I mean, and anybody can live for God when the Spirit of God comes upon you mightily. We could do fantastic things in the Spirit, but what about the in-between times? The in-between times. Because it was the in-between times that was Samson's demise. Why? Because he left the man unguarded. We've got to learn the art of living for God in the in-between times. When we're not in a church service. When we're not singing these wonderful praise songs and feeling the Spirit just resonate through our soul. And everybody's mind is always just on good things here today. But what about the in-between times? When you're not in a church service. When you're not around your loving church family that will encourage you and support you. But what about when you're just out living life? When that happens, that's when spiritual discipline comes into the scene. And spiritual discipline is guarding the man, keeping him in check, guarding him with a hedge of thorns to guard from anger, to guard from the tongue, to guard your heart, to guard your mind, to keep your eyes, what you see, guarded, to keep your ears, what you hear, guarded, to keep everything that you know in your body under subjection. That's why Paul urged us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. He said, be on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Protect yourself. Be on guard. If you've ever visited a couple who have some small children, you'll notice that everything in that house is dedicated to protecting their children. There may be plastic plugs in those little electrical outlets to keep the children from seeing what happens when they stick their fingers in them. It only takes once, by the way. Or maybe on the pantry door you'll see a little gate or something secured to prevent the baby or small child from getting items that may be harmful to them. I remember when I was a kid, they didn't have that, and I got into those little laundry things that you throw in the washer, and I thought they looked, they're soft and it's like candy. So you know, you have gates to keep children from harming them. And when you try to open the cabinet doors, it's frustrating at times, but there may be those little plastic locks on them to keep them from being able to open those doors from those little inquisitive minds. Or, you know, if you're driving them, you may see that they have to sit in a special seat to buckle them in to keep them from moving about. Unlike when you or I were young, we could just dance on those seats where mom and dad's driving. But now they have them where they're just secured in. And many times, even when you roll down the back windows, they don't go down all the way because they're child protected, keeping the baby from harming himself. But everywhere you look, their lives are dedicated not only to protecting a baby from others or things that would harm it, but from the baby itself. And our Heavenly Father, who we love and who loves us, just as well, He protects us, not only from the evil that resides in this world, but He protects us from ourselves. And when He does that, that's what's called walking and living in the Spirit of Christ. You read Ephesians, it'll tell you all about that, about how to be strong, how to protect yourself, to guard the flesh. Because what happens is many times we think we need to have something. We think we need to do something, which we probably and most definitely could do without. Kind of like the little boy that wanted $100 so bad that he prayed to God for a whole entire week about it, but nothing happened. So he decided to write God a letter requesting the $100. And when the post office received the letter addressed to God, they got a chuckle about it, so they sent it up to the White House. And when the president opened it, he was very impressed, and he was kind of touched and amused about it. So he instructed his White House aide to send the boy $5. He said, $5 will be a lot to a little boy. And the boy was indeed, just like most children are when they get something in the mail, are excited, but even more excited when you open it up and find money inside. And he saw the $5, and he sat down to write a thank you note immediately. And the thank you note went something like this: Dear God, thank you so much for sending the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington. And as usual, they kept most of it. You guys are really familiar with that with your paychecks, I'm sure. But many times God knows what's best for us, even when we feel that we've been denied by Him or kept things from us. But to guard the man and to say that there's going to be limits that I will not let you do. And there's going to be times, of course, when God will move mightily upon us in our lives. And that's important. I mean, when you've been in one of our services here and you've had people who will just become overwhelmed and the presence of God. And I want you just to say now, don't be scared by that. Don't be inhibited by that. Because the Spirit of God is a mighty thing. And we encourage all the spirits of the gift here at Prayer of Faith. Because this is a fruit orchard. The fruits of the Spirit are here. And the gifts of the Spirit. And so when you see that happening, don't be scared and run out of there and say, I don't know about that church. Just understand that the Spirit of God is moving mightily. But most of the time, it's going to be just the in-between times we live in. When you're going to go to work, or when you're driving, or when you're in the store. and just doing life, and especially this time of year coming up, somebody cuts you off in the store, the grocery cart, or somebody accidentally bumps into the back of your ankles going down an aisle, and it's those in-between times where you have to guard that man, and you have to keep him guarded. But the Spirit of God will come mightily upon you. But here's the interesting thing about that. He won't come mightily upon you in the way that you think he will. Because he's just that way. Because here's what happens. Usually, if we know how God's going to use us, then here's what happens. This old thing called pride starts welling up in our lives, and it can ruin the whole thing. I know, I've done it before. I've had it happen to me before. Oh, Pastor Eric, thank you for praying so-and-so. You wouldn't believe, but they're incredibly well now. I mean, for some reason, God just really touched their lives. I heard that, and it's like, looked like Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show. Back straightened up, did a little sniff, and walked around. I'll pray for you for a buck, you know. And if you know how God's going to work in you, pride is a wicked thing. It'll rise up in front of you. God's more interested in what we do in the in-between times more than what we do really in the God mighty moving times in our lives. My greatest times of ministry isn't necessarily up here on this platform in this pulpit, but it's rather in the workplace, in the everyday common life, and the hospital that I go to. There's people whose paths I cross without even knowing their names or who they are or even for what purpose God is going to use me for. But in doing this, we have to guard our flesh. Instead, we have to feed our spirit through prayer and reading the Word of God and staying in fellowship with your church family and in giving for ourselves, of ourselves, and in ourselves. Listen, I as well as you would easily and gladly sacrifice myself for the good of our family. Easily take a bullet for my family, just as many of our veterans today would gladly give their lives for our country. But the greatest thing that you can do for your family is to keep your person, your flesh, on guard. Because if you can keep that guy on guard or that woman on guard, to keep them on guard, then you'll be able to influence your family. You'll be able to influence your community and maybe even your country by feeding your spirit that God's given to you in prayer and keeping it holy and just to keep loving Jesus. So that your heart remains pure, to keep your spirit pure. Don't let this thing called anger or bitterness or wrath try to get hold of you. You got to keep them hedged in. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this, is that the reason the king said, keep this man, keep him hedged in, is because you can't trust you. I can't trust me. I mean, we look real good on church. I got a suit and tie on. I look real good up here on stage. I think I do anyway. But, you know, and I can do the best I can to uphold the calling of God in my life, just as many of you do the exact same thing. But you can't trust you. It's hard to, because if I put myself in certain situations and I don't have myself hedged in or on guard, then I can't trust myself. You'll lie to yourself. Oh, I'll never do that. And then you look back one day and kind of got real busy and the flesh just wandered off doing what it wants to do. That's why we have to keep this man on guard. And in our story today, and to keep on guard because you never know what's going to come across your path. A man once was walking around and he saw an eagle soaring up in the sky in circles. And he noticed that the eagle's circles began to start to tighten up. Smaller circles. And the man was looking around and he saw a weasel down out there in the out there on the landscape. And all of a sudden, the eagle just dropped out of the sky like a jet and caught the weasel in its talons and was soaringly, amazingly, up back up into the sky again. Well, what was interesting when this guy was watching this was this eagle began to eat away at the breast. I mean, the weasel began to eat it away at the breast of the eagle. And the man watched as the weasel was just tearing away, snapping bones and chewing flesh on that eagle. And then all of a sudden, he watched the eagle in the sky just kind of fold up, come crashing down to the ground below. And as soon as it did, the weasel popped up and went on its way. So getting what you want doesn't always work out the way you think it will. Sometimes the things we want will ruin us. God has given us a spirit of freedom, as I spoke about last week. And he's given it to us as a gift, as a choice, for the good and for the bad. And our responsibility is to keep on guard. But it's our choice if we remain on guard or if we become busy with other things or the selfish desires of our lives. Let's embrace others who are around us and hold them tightly. Let's give freely to each other as the fullness has been given and granted to us by the Father himself. And in that freedom, we'll find that we're free to serve him through the Spirit of Christ, which lives in us and which lives out through us. As we close today, I'd like to ask every one of you to stand in closing. I would hope that you would take this Veterans Day appreciation message to heart and to be on guard. And if you would, if you feel comfortable, please lift high your hand just as a moment with me and repeat after me. God, I realize today, like never before, that you haven't put me over charge of a platoon, that you haven't placed me in charge of a company, or haven't placed me in charge over a brigade. You've just told me to keep this person as an important responsibility of my life, to keep this person on guard to what you desire for my life in serving you as my king. And today I give my life to you again. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all. And have a wonderful week. Celebrate our veterans. Tell a veteran how much you appreciate him.